The Book of Wisdom in our first reading today presents to us a religious figure. I bet 90% that he is a prophet, because through his proclamation, through the words that he proclaimed, many were offended, many were hurt, and those who listened to his words really plotted to kill him because he is obnoxious to them. In other words, he is a threat to their lives. So they want to annihilate him. They don't want that he would leave preaching the word of God. This is the vocation of a prophet, because his words are not his. His words are from God. He is the mouthpiece of God. And chances are, many of those who strayed from God do not want to listen to the words of God. You know why? Because they are offended by God's word, especially when they do not live up to their vocation as children of God. So the word of God becomes abhorrent to their lives. So they don't want to listen to it. And so the messenger of God is also an obnoxious to their lives. They want to get rid of him. But this figure, religious figure, the prophet that the Book of Wisdom referred to in our first reading, stay calm. He was not cowed by the threat. There was even a plan to torture him and put him to death to test if he continues to trust in his God, because it is written that God will take care of him. And so this evil man, who was hurt by the message of this religious figure or this prophet, wanted to really to test him, to put him into the test, if he would remain trustful, if he would remain faithful to God, whom he thinks would take care of him. Dear brothers and sisters, once we become disciples of the Lord, once we follow the Lord, chances are that there are a lot of trials that come on our way. And you know, these trials are just a test to our discipleship, a test to our faith, if we continue trusting in God, or we surrender, or we give up. Many, many times we give up, and we are at a loss when we give up. It's the gain of the devil when we give up. It's the gain of those people who wanted to cut out of, to separate us from our mission. So the religious figure, the prophet that the Book of Wisdom referred to in our first reading, continued to be steadfast in his faith, and his trust in God is awesome. In the gospel that we have heard, Jesus explained to his disciples his messiahship, his being the Messiah. Remember that previous to this, he asked his disciples, who do people say that he is? Others say he was Elijah, one of the prophets, John the Baptist. It was Peter who said, you are the Christ. Christos in Greek, Messiah in Hebrew. But these disciples of Jesus have a different connotation, understanding about the Messiah, the Messiahship of Jesus. For them, Jesus' Messiahship is one who is a powerful figure, a political liberator who would come to liberate Israel from foreign forces. So in other words, innate in this Messiah is his brute force, that if there is person who stand on his way, he can easily annihilate him because he's powerful and he would use his brute force, especially against his enemies. But unfortunately, it was not the messiahship of Jesus. He would never use his brute force. He did not have even a political power, clout, to annihilate those who would run into his way or would oppose him, just as the political leaders that we have. When you oppose them, oh, he can have the power to silence you. But this is not the Messiahship of Jesus. The Messiahship of Jesus is one of meekness, humility, humiliation, suffering. And so the apostles of Jesus did not understand this. And so, in that context, the apostles of Jesus were actually discussing among themselves when Jesus explained to them that this is his Messiahship, not the one who they were there thinking about. They argue among themselves, if that is their understanding of a Messiah who is powerful, who is a political liberator, they want to imitate that. And so, among themselves, they argue and they discuss, who among us would be like this Messiah, a political liberator with all those power? And Jesus sensed that. And so he called his attention, what are you discussing? And he knows that they were discussing about who is the most important people, who is the most or the greatest among them, the group of the 12, who is the number one. Sociologists have this, in their study of the behavior and of people, I don't know if you have heard this, they talk about upward mobility. Is your first time to hear this? Why are you so silent? Do I appear mysterious? At least you're honest. Thank you. Because you don't really understand. Let me explain. Upward mobility. This is the way of the world today. That everyone wants the number one position. The highest position. Everyone wants to be the number one. Famous. The most powerful. And the richest of all. So everyone jockeys for position. I want that number one position. I will be the CEO. I will be the president of the United States of America. I will be the greatest person in the world. That is what sociologists say, upward mobility. So the tendency is always to go up, to reach and to get, to achieve that number one. Jesus opposed that. If the world, according to sociologists, would tend toward upward mobility, Jesus' way is downward mobility. And what did Jesus do? He chose the last place. If the world chose the number one, the highest position, to become famous, to become the richest person in the world, to become the most powerful person in the world, Jesus chose to be a servant. Jesus chose to be the humble, the most humble person. That's why he was there on the cross. Just come to think of it. If it were not for this humility, for this simplicity, for this servanthood, choosing the last place, that is downward mobility, Jesus is not there. So this is what he wants his disciples to be. Chose the last place. If you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, that's why many of his followers do not want to follow him anymore. Remember? They don't want to follow him anymore because the values of Jesus turn people upside down. It's really contrary to what the world valued. If the world valued riches, power, being powerful and popular, Jesus does not want it. Be the last of all. Be simple. That's why he took the child. You know, in the Jewish culture and society, children do not have rights and privileges. They are nobody. That's why Jesus introduced them to the Jewish society. No, the kingdom of God is like children. Unless you become like children, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And if you don't behave like children, if you don't accept me like these children, you will never accept my Father. The message is clear, my dear brothers and sisters, that if you really want to become great in the kingdom of God, of heaven, in the kingdom of God, where Jesus reigns, we have to be the servant of all. We have to choose the last part. It's very, very difficult. But if you aspire for that greatness in the kingdom of heaven, it is very, very possible.